and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute. If you're looking for more tips or lessons from Emily, please check out musigy.com for all the sheet music, transcriptions, albums, books, and flute lesson packages. That's musigy.com, musogy.com. Also, if you're looking for posters, fingering charts, or merch, you can head over at our merch store at store.theflutechannel.com for all your flute needs. If you want to help us on a monthly basis, you can also consider joining us over at Patreon for as little as $2 a month. This helps us make more great content for you. Check the description for more info. Now on with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
Hi, Amélie.
And this is Misty.
And this is Misty as well. It's true. If you're watching Misty this live dog. Right now, but if you're listening to the podcast, Misty's joined us for the podcast, this New Year's podcast. Happy New Year, Amélie.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody out there, too. Today, we're going to talk a little bit today about, good practicing habits to start the new year, and also a couple of your questions. So if you have any questions, we'll try to reserve at least a couple minutes at the end of the show to answer those as well. So put those in the chat, or if you have a question for another podcast, go and leave them in the video over at youtube.com. So yeah, we're back from our last podcast. Amélie, you did an interview with the teacher over at Berkeley.
Wendy.
And that was cool. And then since then, we've been working on finishing the album, which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is the Telemann solo, 12 Telemann Fantasias for solo flute.
Yeah. What takes time is the whole book part, because I have to do revisions to make sure that there's no mistakes in the music, the sheet music.
Yeah, absolutely. The revision on so many things, including the music part, the recording part, all those things, you know.
Yeah.
So that should be out very, very, very soon. And you'll all be able to find out more about that over at the YouTube channel. Well, we'll give you all the updates. But yeah, you'll be able to go and buy it over at musigy.com. It's going to be like the sheet music, but also the recordings and together too. It's going to be a very cool beginning product for albums, you know. Start off big with the Telemanns, and then we're gonna do some more later in the next year as well, so stay tuned for that. What else has happened? Not much else, but really just winding down the new year, right?
Yeah,
winding down the old year, and then new year is gonna start soon. So yeah, just want to kind of open up the conversation, like I told you about, what are your kind of like good foundational tips for when people start, you know, in general?
About practicing in general?
Yeah, practicing.
Yeah, I guess trying to find a type of schedule that, you know, we're creatures of habit, most of us. So if we have a time frame that we put in our schedule that's good for us, that can be helpful, because we all have very busy lives.
Absolutely.
So, and also have realistic goals. If you have a full-time job and 3 kids, maybe you won't practice 2 hours a day. Maybe you'll practice 3 times 30 minutes, and that's already a great achievement, you know? Like, so that you don't feel always that you're not succeeding in your goals. Don't put goals that are completely unrealistic.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, figuring out a nice spot to put that in your schedule. And then remember that it's more about, well, of course you need a minimum time to get better, but how you practice is at least as important as how much you practice. If you practice mistakes over and over, or if you practice with a goal, and if you know, like, also, you try to get the information. Let's say you're not happy with your sound. Maybe trying to figure out why, what's going on, how to make it better. Because just practicing might not be the most efficient way. Whereas maybe if you go see a teacher or watch a couple of YouTube videos about it, and you look at yourself in the mirror and try to figure things out, it's not just about punching in, punching out. It's about being mindful and also making I find it useful if you make a type of program with like a sound exercise and some technique and articulation and repertoire and some sight reading with the studies and stuff like that, and you try to go through different things, different aspects. If you don't have time to do all those things every time, maybe you schedule it differently. But then there's also people who don't need to schedule like that and just play, and it's also okay, I guess, you know.
No, totally, you're absolutely right. I like those things. So like, you know, like first, you know, scheduling your practice sessions is pretty important to start off. Have a nice solid scheduling, and then also keep a room for movement just in case like things change, you know, like say something comes up and you're like, oh, I should have practiced, but it's something else came up. Have that openness a little bit to not be too, you know, because things can happen.
But disappointed. Yeah, or
yeah. Never feel like that if you can help it, but like schedule it back, or, you know, have that openness so that you have that freedom. It can like help even your practicing, I think. And like even like practicing with a goal, that's an amazing tip too. Like that's having goals for the week, or have a longer term goals could be good as well too. And just have those set up maybe in a little journal or something, or
like
however way you want, you know. Yeah.
You can do like a sound exercise, let's
totally.
Say.
Totally.
With just no no intention. You just play. And you're not really there. And
yeah.
You can play a sound exercise with an intention.
Totally.
Listening to your sound, trying to have your body as open and as relaxed as possible. Like relaxed, but also strong in a way.
Right.
And, you know, think about how you're breathing and your embouchure and how you're taking all the space.
Yeah.
And you're filling the space with your sound.
Oh, yeah.
You can do it in that way, or you can just play the notes with no intention.
Right.
You've spent the same amount of time, but I guess one will be more satisfying and more useful long term.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I like that deep analysis during practice now, like talking about the actual practice session right now. Like, I like how you're talking about that with playing with the intention and, you know, doing all that. And I think you said just before that too, is to look at videos, look at references, look at lessons online and stuff. But also I think recording yourself with your phone can also be the one thing. Like you don't have to record your whole practice session, but maybe record one element of your practice session that you kind of want to deep dive in, even if it's only a minute, even if it's only 30 seconds, you can record that, review it, watch it, really spend a couple minutes to analyze like what's going on, what you can improve, then maybe re-record it or practice with that intention, like you were saying, more mindful attention to have a good change to make a better sound or better technique or better whatever you're trying to do.
Because you can be your best teacher. So if you record yourself
totally.
And you listen,
yeah.
You can really... It's not the same while you're playing. When you're just listening, you can take notes.
Good point.
And also take notes of what's going on well.
Mm-hmm.
If you think something's very nice,
yeah.
You should also take note of that, because it's as important to know what you're doing right, so you can continue to do that.
Yeah,
exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And
reinforce it. Yeah, I see. What you
yeah,
mean.
It's as important to
more repetition.
To see what's going well as to see what needs to get better.
Yeah.
And...
I
think like even if the sound quality is not the best, you still can learn a lot from recording yourself. I guess now even filming yourself to see your posture, like I wasn't doing that when I was younger because we didn't have phones like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was more complicated. But I guess it could be a good, you know, if your teacher is always telling you, or you don't have a teacher, but let's say your teacher is always telling you that you're going forward all the time. If you don't see it, it's difficult to correct yourself. You have to see it, feel it, and be like, oh, okay. So, yeah, stuff like that. But I remember, like, practicing piano, for example, for hours and not being able to play something. And then I started watching, you know, reading more about piano technique and stuff like that. And stuff that I had never learned in my piano lessons, just, you know. And like it opened something up for me, and then I was able to actually play it. And I think I could have practiced almost an unlimited amount of hours.
Totally.
And not being able to play it, you know.
Exactly.
Same with my flute sound. At one point, I learned more about how things are made, how mm-hmm. things are produced, how the sound is produced, if mm-hmm. you're playing loud or soft mm-hmm. and all those things. And like,
yeah,
I could have practiced so much without attaining the same result if I hadn't understood how it works. So
totally.
It's also a good investment sometimes to watch videos. Maybe one day you're too tired to take out your flute.
Yep.
But you're using that same time to watch a video about sound production.
And you're still working those parts of the brain.
Yeah.
Still, without even your flute. A lot
or
of people
one
are
day
gonna, yeah.
You say, oh, let's, when I'm commuting, I have time to read my music. Let's say mm-hmm. I'm learning mm-hmm. a study every week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't take out my flute, but I can still take out my music
yeah.
and read my music. And I always do my fingerings like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can also just read it and start learning it, understanding the rhythm.
Yeah.
You know.
And listening to recordings as well.
Yeah, or at your lunchtime. You
yeah.
can listen to the piece you're playing and
totally.
Look at the music. Look at. So.
That's all.
There's
yeah.
There's ways to be efficient too. And not just with the flute, but that
mm-hmm.
or with whatever instrument you're playing, but that are gonna help your playing.
Yeah,
you know, even like you said, listening to good musicians can
mm-hmm.
teach you a lot about phrasing.
Totally.
Like, and also if you're, let's say your goal is okay, I want to get my phrasing better. Mm-hmm. Then you listen to musicians with that in mind. Oh, how do they phrase? You know,
yeah.
how do they make the phrase move forward and close and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all like really good ways to do mindful, intentional practice or mindful, intentional repetition. You know, listening to something, practicing something over, but having that analytical mindfulness and intention is super important. I would think like, well, I don't know how you would think about this, but like, I know we can't do in a practice session completely always mindful intuition, you know, mindful intention and stuff like recording ourselves for every single aspect. Would
no.
you say like take one aspect per practice session to do a little bit more fine tuning on something and then go
yeah.
back to your regular practice?
Yeah, and even
of
sometimes one goal can be for a whole month or a whole
okay.
year, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
if you're
yeah.
working on something very difficult, it might take more time and it's
totally.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you're so right. Like, you can't be, let's say you practice 3 hours a day, because everyone's different. If you're in university learning, like, you
yeah,
might
yeah.
practice 3 hours a
totally.
Day. Maybe you can't be 100% focused 3 hours a day, and it's
yeah,
also
exactly.
okay. Sometimes you're practicing your skills, you already know them so well. You can just go
oh,
and
yeah.
it's fine, you know. It's there's no shame there, you know. But also, don't practice too much at once. Make sure you take breaks for
yeah,
your
exactly.
body and for your focus and all that. You need breaks. Go and move around, because static positions also, it's always tough for the body.
Oh,
you know,
static positions.
A static
oh, yeah.
Position for a long time, because the flute.
We could
even
talk a lot about
a
that.
Posture, even if you have a good posture, you're mm-hmm. still having your head tilted a little bit and all that. You need to take breaks.
Exactly. Breaks are super important. Also, rest is very good. Sleep is about, we talked about that so long ago, but like good sleep can help your practice session like considerably. I think they did an analysis of people who had less sleep and more sleep for practice. And like it was, I think, 40%, no, 30%. You're losing 30% of 30 to 40% or something like that of your recall and efficiency just by sleep. So you're going to get 30% better just by sleeping well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I had those types of margins at every practice session, you know, like it's amazing,
yeah.
you know, so
you don't wanna, yeah,
it's all part
I
of the bigger picture.
I used to read my music in bed a lot.
Yeah.
When
same.
I was a student
mm-hmm.
and then go to bed, you know,
yeah, 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 yeah.
work
that's
on it and then go to bed. But
yeah, you can do it like, yeah, exactly. But also part of just the regular practice session too, it's just like all of it helps, you know,
yeah.
with a good amount of sleep.
And movement is so important.
And movement, yeah.
Like, I have big issues with my neck. It's been like that for my whole life.
Yeah.
But I used to think that I needed to stretch. Everyone's always about stretch, stretch, stretch.
Yeah.
But I realized that for myself, at least, like, it's nothing scientific. It's just my own experience, but movement in general, like
and
getting
strength.
My heart rate a
oh,
bit higher.
Okay, okay.
It makes, I guess, it kind of oxygenates all the muscles. You
oh
know?
Yeah, for sure.
And also strength exercise, not necessarily like super intense, super heavy, but moving those muscles, it makes the blood go and it's less stiff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I personally was kind of overstretching and making things worse when I needed to be a bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and sometimes I just do some bicycle or some elliptical and my neck's better. Just because, you know, made the heart pump a little bit. And yeah, so movement is very important. And especially like we're musicians, we're using our bodies a lot. So we don't need to be athletes, you know,
no.
But just at least be moving enough, like everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
But for us, because we use
our body
in such a specific way, and we have those static positions and all that.
Yeah, so it's
and
wise.
Repetitive movements.
Yeah, so it's wise to kind of also keep that healthy balance of outside of the practice room as well.
Yeah,
that's cool. Now, like, okay, one other thing I'm curious about your viewpoint about that is that. When do you think it's better to have an allocated amount of time or, you know, a lot of people, they have that, some people have this luxury of having unlimited time to practice, you know, especially when you're starting out, not necessarily younger, but when you're starting out on your instrument in special predicaments, do you think separating, just doing a certain amount of time when you're beginning, instead of just like practicing all day as a beginner, you know, do you think slow, gradual steps first?
I don't think practicing all day is realistic.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just physically.
No, I know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I mean like
I think after 3 hours a day you're kind of maybe not as efficient.
Mm-hmm. And know? Then with breaks in between, obviously.
Let's say
break
you do
in between.
Like a 45-minute three times you know.
But you're talking like somebody who's already kind of well established, or do you mean people who are starting out?
I don't know. You're asking the question, but
yeah, I'm just curious
like
about
someone
your
who has unlimited amount of time.
Would you still encourage taking as much time throughout the day, or like you said 3 hours is sort of for yourself, maybe a brain maximum for that activity?
I've practiced like about 5 hours a day at one point.
At your peaks, yeah. But for a beginner, would you say like?
It all depends.
All depends.
On each person's
yeah.
situation.
That's what I thought.
But like usually a beginner, I would say, also because you're not used to holding the flute and all those things,
right?
And you might have some tension because you're finding your balance and all that. Maybe start with 30 minutes a day, see how you feel, and then you can increase to 45 and 1 hour, you know, or at least 30 minutes. Take a break, or even like when you're a real beginner. Sometimes real beginners also get. They get, what do you call that?
Carpal tunnel?
Too much oxygen.
Oh, too much oxygen. Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they
yeah.
They breathe in too much and then they get lightheaded.
Yeah, yeah, lightheaded. I don't know what that.
Hyperventilation.
Hyperventilation. Oh,
yeah.
I never knew that.
Like real, real beginners, sometimes they hyperventilate a little bit.
Mm. So then maybe, yeah, that's so interesting you say that. Maybe some people get maybe nervous about that when that happens to them and they think they're doing something wrong, but in reality, it's just that. Body getting used to it.
Because they think that they usually, what happens is some people think they need more air than they actually do need.
Right.
So
okay.
They breathe in a lot because they don't control it yet how to make a sound with a certain amount of air. They push a lot of air. They take in a lot of air. They hyperventilate like that.
Okay.
Yeah, my first flute teacher, my first lesson, he told me to sit down because once a girl... fell on the ground on her first lesson.
Oh
my
gosh.
He was like, no, her first lesson, it's sitting down, sitting on a chair. Because, he's like, if you're lightheaded, it's normal. It's going to go away when you get it better, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you breathe, I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes beginners, they breathe between each note.
Yes,
so they
do. It's true. Mm-hmm.
Between each note, it's way too much oxygen in your brain. And then you, yeah. That's how people have panic attacks, you know, when they breathe in too much.
Okay.
Yeah. When the breath is too fast, you kind of get lightheaded.
Hmm.
So, it all depends. If you're a
real
beginner and you're breathing in between each note, you're going to get tired fast.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe start working on your breathing so that it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like not breathing between every note would mm-hmm. be a good start.
One other thing, like it's kind of like, what do you think is the, for people to start when they're starting, do you think the most important thing is like, you know, to just kind of get your fingers where they are, or tone or breathing? Are there some elements that have to be kind of looked at more? You sort of were leaning towards like something like that, like what's kind of more important when you're first beginning to kind of focus on in the short term. Is it basically like trying to hold the flute, getting your breathing? Is it those types of things that people should really look out for at the beginning of
learning? Well, when I start, usually we start just with doing some sounds with the head joint, you know?
Okay.
So like basic embouchure and breathing, I guess. And then we learn how to put the flute together, where to put our fingers, how to hold it. It's a lot of stuff to learn, and you kind of have to learn them together. But be patient and repeat a lot, because it's a lot of information at the beginning.
Yeah, and it's a type of repetition. Like, and if you are more mindful with your repetition, you're only going to benefit more. You don't want to do mindless. We tend to fall into that sometimes. Even I do that, like mindless repetition instead of mindful, intentional repetition, you know, with intention.
Yeah. And but also some things are going to come with time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both, you know, being okay. mindful, but don't stress about it. Just
yeah, totally.
Some things will just come in time because you need to be patient. Sometimes people want the result right away, and the muscles have to get, you know, your body has to learn the whole. It's a lot of stuff if you think about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like we're also, totally.
We're having some questions now.
Yeah, I know. And also just like, if you guys have any thoughts or questions about that, you know, that whole segment we were just talking about how to practice and get into a good practice routine in the new year, be sure to let us know in the comments or let us know here in the live chat. But yeah, we have a couple questions. And Amen wants to know, is the flute bad when you have a heart problem? Do you know, did you ever teach anybody with heart problems in the past?
I don't know. I don't think so, but
I never,
I would ask a doctor, but I would be surprised if the flute was bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, of course, like, don't exhaust yourself, but because it's not like cardio or anything, but it's good for the lung capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a teacher who has heart problems and
And still can play.
Yeah, I think so, but
I knew one person that had one.
I'm not sure they still play that much, but for other reasons. But
I'd
ask a doctor, because but I would think that, like, if you play in a like reasonable manner, you shouldn't have problems.
No.
But I don't want
to. No, it's not medical or
advice, because I'm not qualified at all. But
if you have, I would say if you have that thought, maybe check with your doctor first if you have that type of worry, and then they'll be the best to reassure you about that. But I've met some people who've had very abrasive, like, surgeries and stuff like that. Like, and they were able to play after, you know, even if they're medicated and stuff, like, to a certain degree. So,
because, like, I've never felt like my heart was beating more or less when I was playing, but I would guess, I think it's pretty healthy to play the flute, to be honest, because, like, it's really working on your whole breathing. And I had a friend who had a lot of asthma in high school, and well, she had a lot of asthma in general, but in high school she played the flute every day because we were in a music program and she didn't need any pumps. But now that she doesn't play anymore, she needs pumps again, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good in general for the whole, but it also depends on the heart problem and all that. So I don't want to say.
Yeah, totally. That's okay. So yeah, hopefully that helps your question. If not, it's okay. Well, something interesting to that. Carmen wants to know, how do you get a clear sound on the flute? Hers is airy and wants a bit clearer sound. That's a one of the most common questions for sure. And there's solutions.
We have a couple of videos about that.
Yeah.
If you look,
she follows our videos about clear sound. That's what she says here, Carmen.
Yeah. It can be different things.
She says her lips keep opening too big and it sounds airy. You want me to say?
Okay. So maybe you need to keep the size of your lips closer together.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you open just in the middle. Maybe you're you're opening too much the lips in general. You need just a tiny hole in the middle. But like I would have to like I give general advice, but if I saw your embouchure, maybe I could
assess it even faster. Better,
Yeah, maybe you're just not focusing the air in the right spot of the embouchure enough because it's too big.
Yeah.
So then maybe look in the mirror, keep your lips together, and just open a little bit in the middle.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, some people, what they do is they put a grain of rice, they close their lips, and then they just push the grain of rice out with the air and the tongue, like, and like keeping it a bit smaller. I think a grain of rice is a bit too small, but maybe it can be an exercise, you know?
Yeah.
To feel it where it should be opened.
Totally.
So that could be helping you. But check our videos about clear sound because we have a couple. And I think they're pretty good.
Yeah. I could add something to that. I think also like with air and sound, that's a whole thing. But I think recording yourself, kind of going back to that thing, record yourself from your phone or from whatever type of device you have at a different distance so you can hear if there's air at a longer distance. Then you can evaluate even more, because even my flute sound, I can still hear air in the sound because it's my ears are the closest thing to that source of where it is. So I always, like, you can minimize it, but to a certain degree.
You need a little bit of air in
your sound. Yeah, you need a little bit of air in your sound so that things move, but record yourself.
So maybe what you think is bad is not as bad as you think.
Yeah, because maybe the audience members don't hear it at all. That's why the phone can be treated like an audience member. Yeah. And they're,
like 2-3 meters away. And
and then try further or try whatever you can. And I think that can really kind of just bring maybe a different perspective of how to approach making that sound more clear.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we hear is different from our ears to where someone is listening a few feet away, you know? There's a lot of physics involved in that for how it's projected. So that, just keep that in mind, you know? The phone, your recording device can be a super good, helpful tool for that element in particular as well. Yeah, hopefully that helps your question. And if you want to elaborate further, you can write more about it in the comments for sure. Mr. Volta wants to know, I love singing in combo with the flute, like singing into the flute. I hope you can clarify that. I love it when jazz cats do that in their solos. How would you approach practicing that technique? Oh, singing in the flute technique. Yeah, yeah. Like singing and playing in the flute.
Yeah,
I think
you
that's
could
what he
do
means.
It with your sound exercises, just going semitone by semitone.
Yep.
Going da, da, and
get that sensation.
At the same time.
Ah.
You could do scales and arpeggios with it.
Yeah.
You know. Or you just sing the melody and then you play it and then you do it together.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. I think we also have a video about how to sing in your flute.
We do. And I think, especially if it's for jazz, because a jazz sound for flute and a classical sound for flute, they're different. So, you know, I've played a little bit and so have you. I think, like, there's a little bit of a different type of sound you want to kind of approach with jazz flute in general. So keep that in mind too, I guess, you know,
so
there's nothing to explore, you know.
Maybe one last question?
Yeah, we'll do one last one and then we'll, let's do all of our plugs and then we can answer that question and then we can finish
and
the
day. Congratulations, Mark, for your new flute.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the chat. That's so cool.
And also, so that's cool. So
Yeah. That's pretty
cool.
So
you want to say those things?
Yeah. So, we have, we do the podcast every other month right now for 2024. We're going to try to do it at least 6 times of the year. And you can go over to our Patreon, where we have patreon.com/theflutechannel, where we have our TFC Unlimited, which is like all of our content, including this, the podcast and just practicing and all of our videos commercial free. You can also just tip us on a monthly basis and you can get a couple perks with that. But if you go for our TFC Unlimited, which is, I think, $5 a month. You can watch all of our content there. And we have additional interviews and different types of content that are not on the channel that we're adding to that whole entire ecosystem. And that helps us out a lot. And we've had a great response with that already. So if you're considering having a type of a subscription service or something like that, then help, indie artist or indie, however you want to call it, go and help us out there at patreon.com/theflutechannel. And then we also have Musigy, which is our store where our Emily's books are, the beginner method, and also the intermediate method, plus also the Telemann album. When that comes out in the next couple of weeks, that'll all be there. So you can go to musigy.com, musogy.com. What else am I missing? Anything else? I think those are two main avenues.
Pretty much it.
And also subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the Flute Channel over here on YouTube, and consider also
and,
doing that.
Do we still have space for flute lessons?
Studio's still open. If you want to have a flute lesson with Emily in the flute studio, we have some openings, so you can email us at info@theflutechannel.com, and we'll be sure to get you squared away with rates and how things work with that. But we do have some openings this year, right now, so if you'd like to have lessons with Emily on a whatever type of basis you want, we can make that work. So, and what else? Is that it? I think lessons, all those things. And be sure to also leave us a comment on this video, or like it. That helps us out also tremendously.
Yeah.
Big time.
So,
what was the last question I would like to...
Resonance fingerings like clarinet? I don't think we have that on the flute. I've never heard of that.
Not necessarily. If I think I know what it is, I think maybe it might mean like... Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So
I don't think we have that.
We don't have that.
And then tips on agility in the lower register, like Midsummer's Night Dream.
Oh, yeah. Dum 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 dum.
Yeah, I think it's more the low register.
It's in the midpoint somewhere. Yeah, in the midpoint, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that part. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. So the difficulty with the Midsummer Night Dream is not just that it's in the low register. It's the double tonguing.
Mm-hmm.
So some...
Oh, yeah.
You know when you... it's a bit more difficult to tongue fast in the low register because the reaction is a tiny bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, I would start practicing that all slurred.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I would do slurred by... Two slurred and... Four detached. So the first time I would go tum ta ha ha ta ha ta ha ha ta, one tonguing per measure.
Right.
Then you tongue the first two of the measure and you and then you slur the first two and you tongue the rest, so it goes ta ta ha ta ka ta ka 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 ta, and then you practice ta ta ka ta ka ta ka ta ka ta ka ta ka ta. But I would also practice upside down, going ka ta ka ta ka ta.
Oh yeah.
You
invert
switch the
articulation, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Da ka ta 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 ka ta. Then it's so much easier when you do it in the right way.
Oh yeah.
Huh. Yeah. If you find it difficult, maybe watch our video about playing in the low register.
Mm-hmm. We should do just practicing about that. I don't know if we ever did one about orchestra. It was a grouped
a
one,
video,
orchestra excerpts.
We did a just practicing of orchestral excerpts, and I think Midsummer Night Dreams is in it.
Yeah, if it's not, maybe we do it again. We just do it no matter, like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
it's
I could
there,
make
though.
A specific video about yeah. it. Because it's a good one.
Yeah.
And, like, make sure that you're... Sometimes in the low register, people tend to lower their head.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
it changes the whole...
Totally.
It's
okay.
It changes the angle of the air, so make sure you keep your head straight, that you're not changing your position when you go in the low register, and blow warm air, not cold air, like warm and slow air, and look at yourself in the mirror and check if you can see that you're tonguing. If you can see that you're tonguing, that you're moving too much, you know.
Oh, that's a
you
that's an incredible
see,
tip. Wow,
you shouldn't
that's
see
so good.
Your lips moving or anything moving when you're doing it. It's like
right. Oh, it's
you
a great
see nothing's
tip.
Moving.
Nothing.
You don't see it. If it moves, then it's gonna disturb the airstream.
Right.
It's gonna if your lips are moving, it's gonna disturb the air.
Oh.
You just want to have it. You want to have. An airstream that's going whoom on the flute,
uh-huh.
right in the right spot, and your tongue is just cutting that airstream, and
yeah.
that's it. But
yeah.
you don't want to. Sometimes we work way too hard.
Oh
you
yeah.
Know,
and
then you we move on each note to just stability
yeah.
will help you a
totally.
Lot.
Totally. I always had this one tip that I got from that particular excerpt, and it might be completely, but it always worked for me, and it made my articulations better for that, is to play it up a key and down a key.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You transpose
them, and then you play. Then you get that mentality of like playing a little higher, but then keeping that when you go reset and go back to that, and you have this more brighter, more deeper.
Yeah, that approach. Can be difficult if someone doesn't have the.
It's just an advanced knowledge
to do it.
I'm just saying it's an advanced technique, because if you're doing that piece and doing it for auditions, or you know, even just student auditions and stuff like that. I don't know. I think it's a higher technique type of tip, but mm-hmm. it worked and it was crazy. That's just one key up, one key down, and I like something fixed with that whole, because I know that problem. I've had that problem too, you know, that really making those low notes not punch, but give sustenance, you know. And the way you were saying with the tonguing and looking in the mirror, those are excellent.
I don't think it needs to punch that much, though. Because it's not super punch. That whole thing is piano. And if you think too much punch, you're going to want to play louder.
Maybe I don't mean punch so much.
And you're going to have an issue with breathing as well, because there's not much space to breathe. So I would say try to keep it soft, because you won't be able to get to the part where you can actually take a breath.
You're right. Yeah, maybe I'm not meaning punch, but more like actually just be able to play them. Sometimes you run out of air, like you were saying. One of the first things was the air.
Yeah, you have to take a huge breath before you start.
Yeah, huge breath, you know. So yeah, hopefully that helps.
And not give all your air in the three measures.
Or the first three notes. Sometimes I remember when I first started, I was like already out of breath by the first bar. I'm like, oh, there's like 15 more bars. I'm like, uh-oh, you know. But that's a very interesting question, you know. So hopefully that helped.
I like that excerpt a lot.
Yeah, it's a very good excerpt. I like talking about that, playing it. It's pretty fun. I think there's even a duet version of it that's very good.
Yeah, there is. Somewhere. I played it with my high school teacher. He was so cool. We played it together.
Oh, that's so cool. That must be fun, yeah.
He liked doing a little sight reading sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, maybe we'll do another just sight reading. That's fun.
That was fun. I think people like that.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a just practicing, but a just sight reading again.
People were sending stuff for me to sight read.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. You guys can send us stuff to sight read.
Make sure I take my tea before.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, be super sharp. That's it. So, yeah, thanks, everybody. This was a great 2023 for us. Everybody was great. We had a lot more new people joining the channel. So many nice people. So many great comments everywhere. We're thankful for all of you. And hopefully you guys have great musical journeys in 2024. And we'll have a new video out in January. And then we'll also have a Just Practicing. And then another Flute Talk podcast at the end of February. Sunday of every other month, rather. And go and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you do have Apple Podcasts, it'd be great if you left a review about our podcast. It really helps too for us in the educational podcast music sector. It helps us go a long way with that too. We've had some reviewers leave some reviews, which are really great, and maybe we'll read some next time.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And we're very grateful for you like listening to us and
totally
buying our books and just
and watching our videos. Our stuff, yeah.
And watching our videos and sharing with your friends about our tips and everything, because we're doing that for you guys. And
totally.
We appreciate that. It's a whole.
Whole community, whole family, whole ecosystem.
Circle of life. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks, everybody. Be sure to leave a comment and like the video. And if you have any questions, anything at all, just leave them anywhere on any of our videos. We'll be sure to read them and hopefully answer them too. So yeah, thanks so much, everybody. Have a great New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and a nice 2024 year.
Yes. See you.